One of the accusations leveled against the Society of St. Pius X, among others, is that they and their followers are Protestants. Or at least, no better than Protestants. Looking at even the early material of the SSPX shows that this claim against them is not new. Though it will be shouted all the louder as a result of the recent consecrations. From the beginning, comparisons of Archbishop Lefebvre to Martin Luther were made by conservative Catholics. Those Catholics who recognize the problems brought on by the Second Vatican Council, but see the actions of the SSPX as too radical and can only be described as Protestant. Is the SSPX just high church Protestantism, as one of them described it? What is the difference between the SSPX and Protestantism? If you like what you see, please like and share the video and subscribe to the channel, turning on all notifications. If you'd like to support this channel, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the description. Those who have bought coffees since the premiere of my last video and the recording of this one are Joel Wren and Anonymous. You can also like and follow me on Facebook, X, Rumble, BitChute, and Substack. My first book, Until the Last Penny, is available in both ebook and paperback form. It's a fictional story of a soul's journey through purgatory, and it is unapologetically Catholic. Get your copy by clicking the link in the description. And thanks to everyone who has purchased the book. I'm almost at 100 sales, so if you've been on the fence or planning on getting it in the future, now is a great time to grab your copy and help me reach that goal. Also, special thanks to Tyler Ledke and Red for leaving reviews on Amazon. The charge against the SSPX of Protestantism is, of course, ridiculous. The desperate charge of those who have no answer to the contradictions of their own position. They say it is the implementation of the Council that caused the problem, and that the Second Vatican Council can be fully reconciled with tradition, yet they offer none. Still, this charge against the SSPX must be dealt with, but the difference is obvious. Protestants deny tradition, deny purgatory, deny the priesthood, the Mass as worship. They deny that Christ established the Catholic Church and deny the authority of the successor of Peter, the Pope. Protestants deny prayer to the saints, the special role of Mary, the sacraments, and the authority of the Church. The SSPX denies none of these things. Ironically, it is the wish to preserve them that has put them in this position. The SSPX recognizes the Catholic Church is the true Church. Unlike Sedevacantists and some Protestants, we don't claim that what presents itself to the world as the Catholic Church is not the true Catholic Church. These are indeed the churches, the priests, the bishops of the Catholic Church, and he is indeed the Pope. And while we recognize that he has ultimate authority, not only over Catholics, but over all Christians, as well as kingdoms and nations, he does not have unlimited authority. Neither he nor any in the hierarchy have the authority to change the faith. The faith comes first. And even if the Pope teaches something other than the faith, we have a duty to resist. Doctors, saints, and theologians have said this. Juan de Torquemada said, "If the Roman Pontiff commands something that is evil in itself, that is, contrary to divine law, to the faith, or to the salvation of souls, in such a case, separating oneself from the Roman Pontiff by disobedience is not illicit, and consequently should not be called schism." St. Robert Bellarmine said, "Just as it is licit to resist the Roman Pontiff who attacks the body, so also is it licit to resist him who attacks souls or destroys the civil order, or above all, tries to destroy the Church. So I say that it is licit to resist him by not doing what he orders and by impeding the execution of his will." The SSPX has made it clear that they do submit to the Roman Pontiff as the head of the whole Church. They simply believe that disobedience is justified, given the state of the Church. St. Thomas Aquinas teaches the abuse of authority can occur when what is commanded by the superior is contrary to the end for which the authority was instituted. For example, when he orders an evil act contrary to the virtue that his authority is intended to promote and protect. In this case, not only is one not obliged to obey the superior, but one is even obliged not to obey him, as the holy martyrs face death rather than obey the impious orders of tyrants. The same teaching can be found in Pope Leo XIII's encyclical, De Aeternum Ulid. Moreover, if the unjust order of the superior constitutes a danger to the faith, the disobedience itself must be public. The SSPX believes that their activity is necessary to preserve the traditional teaching and rites of the Catholic Church for the salvation of souls. Whether you agree with that or not, you can't deny that they believe it, which, according to canon law, is why these excommunications are invalid. And disobedience is not the same as schism. Cardinal Cajetan confirms this. Disobeying, even obstinately, the sovereign pontiff does not constitute a schism. What constitutes a schism is refusing to submit to him as the head of the whole church. And I'm going to be frank here. It puzzles me that some prominent Catholic voices who supported the SSPX before the consecrations now do not because of the consecrations. I'm not going to name names, but the reality is the only reason the society is around today is because the exact same thing happened almost 40 years ago. Archbishop Lefebvre consecrated four bishops without a papal mandate and, in fact, against the direct order of the Pope in 1988. These people were willing to reap the benefits of that brave action, even recognizing that it was necessary and that if it had not happened, the traditional movement would have died and the traditional Mass would be gone. Now they say the situation is different. We have all these other Latin Mass groups. Therefore, this was not necessary. They failed to realize or refuse to see that all those Latin Mass groups exist as an alternative to the SSPX. The document that made them possible, Ecclesia Dei Afflicta, says so. So, if the SSPX goes away, so do they. This is clear to anyone paying attention. Traditionis Custodis makes it clear, and as soon as Leo was elected, many bishops closed down the Latin Masses in their dioceses. Some have sought to lay blame on the Superior General of the SSPX, saying that a priest shouldn't be in charge of bishops and that July 1st was an arbitrary date. This is somewhat baffling. Sure, there was nothing magical about July 1st, but once the Vatican made it clear they were not interested in talking unless the SSPX agreed to everything they've been fighting against, a date had to be set, and that was the date chosen. No one should be surprised. This has been coming for several years now, and everyone knew it. As far as a priest being the superior general of the society and therefore over its bishops, this is how Archbishop Lefebvre wanted it, so as to not give the impression of a rival hierarchy. The bishops are for the sacramental life of the society, and that's it. Again, we are talking about people who supported the SSPX, even frequented their masses and sacraments prior to the consecrations, but now condemn it. None of this should have been a surprise, and quite frankly, it wasn't. The crisis is far from over. In fact, it's about to go into overdrive, and those other Latin Mass groups are powerless to stop it. Only the SSPX is brave enough to do whatever it takes to preserve tradition. That's why they and no one else get to claim the mantle of St. Athanasius. During the Arian crisis of the 4th century, practically all the priests and bishops in the Catholic Church denied the divinity of Christ. St. Athanasius and a few others, such as St. Eusebius of Samosata, ordained priests and even consecrated a few bishops to go into those Arian territories to teach the true faith, have Mass, and give the sacraments. They went into the diocese of official bishops of the Catholic Church, who adopted the Arian heresy and set up shop. Do you think those bishops were happy about this? Do you think those bishops did not warn the faithful not to go to those Masses, perhaps even threatened excommunication? Those men pressured Pope Liberius to excommunicate Athanasius. They also pressured him into signing a semi-Arian ambiguous creed. Going to SSPX Masses against the will of the bishop, even the Pope himself, can be concerning. Am I doing the right thing? Well, here's what St. Athanasius said to his people who were concerned in a letter to them. May God console you. What saddens you is the fact that others have occupied the churches by violence, while during this time you are on the outside. It is a fact that they have the premises, but you have the apostolic faith. They can occupy our churches, but they are outside the true faith. You remain outside the places of worship, but the faith dwells within you. Let us consider, what is more important, the place or the faith? The true faith, obviously. Who has lost and who has won in this struggle? The one who keeps the premises or the one who keeps the faith? True, the premises are good. When the apostolic faith is preached there, they are holy if everything takes place there in a holy way. You are the ones who are happy, you who remain within the church by your faith, who hold firmly to the foundations of the faith which has come down to you from apostolic tradition. And if inexorable jealousy has tried to shake it on a number of occasions, it has not succeeded. They are the ones who have broken away from it in the present crisis. No one ever will prevail against your faith, beloved brothers, and we believe that God will give us our churches back someday. Thus, the more violently they try to occupy the places of worship, the more they separate themselves from the church. They claim that they represent the church, but in reality, they are the ones who are expelling themselves from it and going astray. Even if Catholics faithful to tradition are reduced to a handful, they are the ones who are the true church of Jesus Christ. Let us put this into perspective. The Arian heretics occupied the churches, and those faithful to tradition were forced to worship outside, literally, or perhaps in houses, all set up by a man who was persecuted and even excommunicated, Athanasius. Yet today we call this man saint and the priests and bishops who occupy the churches heretics. And just like the Arian heresy, this crisis too will come to a close, and the churches, seminaries, and the Vatican itself will be returned to us. Just like the prophecies that predicted this crisis say they will, though it may not happen in our lifetime. This is the hope of the SSPX, as Father Pagliarani said. One day a pope will welcome us back. And for any actual Protestants who may be watching, notice he says those who hold to tradition are the Church of Christ, not Scripture. Now you may think, well, what do I care what some 4th century man the Catholic Church calls a saint says? But this is actually significant. This very man, Saint Athanasius, gave us the New Testament. His list of approved books given in 367 AD was later adopted as the official list of the New Testament canon that all Christians accept. Yet he does not say those who hold to Scripture, he says those who hold to tradition. Why? Because the tradition handed down by the apostles is incorruptible. It can't be tainted by personal interpretation. It is itself the authentic interpreter of Scripture. Scripture must be interpreted in light of tradition. As you can see, this has happened before. The heretics hold the offices, the churches, schools, and seminaries, and those who hold the true faith are led by a man who was persecuted by the heretics and excommunicated. He and his followers were proven right. And someday, so will we. Until my next video, God bless.